in farthest Missouri. By reports sent back by Daniel Morgan Boone, the son of Daniel Boone, and by the fact that in 1821, Missouri had come into the Union as a slave state. By 1827, the earliest settlers had founded a courthouse town called Independence, pleasantly situated on high ground in Jackson County, in what was often spoken of as the Blue River Country. Nearly all were farmers, plain-mannered and plain-spoken, people with little formal education. The great majority were of Scotch-Irish descent. They were Baptists and they were Democrats, and like Thomas Jefferson, they believed that those who labored in the earth were the chosen people of God. They saw themselves as the true Americans. Their idol was Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory of Tennessee. One man with courage makes a majority Jackson, the first president from west of the Alleghenies, who was of their own Scotch-Irish stock. It was for him that Jackson County had been named, and like him, they could be tough, courageous, blunt, touchy, narrow-minded, intolerant, and quarrelsome, and obstinate. "Lord, grant that I may always be right, for thou knowest I am hard to turn," was a line from an old Scotch-Irish prayer. Solomon Young, who was one of 11 children, and his wife Harriet Louisa, one of 13, were from Shelby County, Kentucky, east of Louisville. And so was Nancy Tyler Holmes, a widow with 10 children, who made the journey west to Missouri 3 or 4 years later, about 1845, once her sons had established themselves in Jackson County. Carrying a sack of tea cakes and her late husband's beaver hat in a large leather hat box, she traveled in the company of several slaves and her two youngest daughters, one of whom, Mary Jane Holmes, was secretly pining for a young man back in Shelby County named Anderson Truman. He was one of 12 children. If Solomon and Harriet Louise Young were acquainted with any of the Holmes or Truman families by this time, there is no record of it. Nearly everyone made the expedition the same way, traveling the wilderness not by wagon or horseback, but by steamboat. The route was down the winding Ohio River from Louisville, past Henderson and Paducah, to the confluence of the Mississippi at Cairo, then up the Mississippi to St. Louis. Changing boats at St. Louis, they headed west on the Missouri, the Big Muddy, fighting the current for 457 miles, as far as the river's sudden, dramatic bend. There, they went ashore at either of two miserable, mud-bound little river settlements, Wayne City or Westport, which put them within a few miles of Independence, still the only town of consequence on the frontier. White, black, young and old, they crowded the upbound steamers in the company of hellfire preachers and card sharps, or an occasional pallid Easterner traveling west for his health. Nancy Tyler Holmes is said to have worn a white lace cap that concealed an ugly scar. As a child in Kentucky during a Shawnee uprising, she allegedly saved herself by pretending to be dead, never moving or making a sound as she was being scalped. True or not, the story served long among her descendants as a measure of family grit. In the summer of 1846, Anderson Truman came on from Kentucky, and for some unexplained reason by horseback, which was one of the few exceptional things ever recorded about Anderson Truman. Possibly he couldn't afford boat passage. Of this first Truman to reach Jackson County, there's not a great deal to be said. His full name was Anderson Ship Truman. His people were English and Scotch-Irish, and farmers as far back as anyone knew. He was slight, gentle, soft-spoken, 30 years old, and without prospects. Nonetheless, Mary Jane Holmes, who was 5 years younger, had seen enough in him to defy her mother and marry him. On the pretext of visiting a married sister, she had returned to Kentucky earlier that summer, and once there, announced her intentions. Her mother, the redoubtable Nancy Tyler Holmes, was horrified, as she let Mary Jane know in a letter from Missouri dated July 24, 1846. A letter dictated to another of her daughters, which suggests that Nancy Tyler Holmes may have been illiterate. Since hearing the news, she had been unable to sleep or eat. "Mary, you are the first daughter I have that has refused to take my advice." What made Anderson Truman so unacceptable is unclear.